This is a show about peace, preserving it, promoting it, and monitoring those who would seek to destroy it. I'm Verna Avery Brown. The Houston Coalition for Justice, Not War, plans to serve Texas Senator Kay Bailey Hutchison with a complaint for a citizen's arrest warrant as part of their no-business-as-usual actions following the Senate's passage of Joint Resolution 46. Peace and justice activist Sylvia Stewart wrote the warrant. She spoke with Renee Feltz of Pacifica Station KPFT about its content.
Complaint for citizen arrest warrant issued in the city of Houston, Harris County, state of Texas, this 15th day of October in the year 2002. The citizens of the state of Texas, plaintiff, versus Kay Bailey Hutchison, U.S. Senator from the state of Texas, defendant. Count 1. On or about October 11, 2002, on the floor of the Senate of the United States of America, Washington, D.C., in violation of the United States Constitution, a breach of the public trust was committed by Kay Bailey Hutchison, who did enter a vote of yes to Senate Joint Resolution 46, authorization for the use of military force against Iraq, abdicating to the President of the United States the constitutional right of Congress to declare war, see Article 11, Section 8, in the case of Iraq. Said abdication of congressional war powers deprives the citizens of the state of Texas of their right, through legislative representation, to influence and participate in the determination whether or not to commit the armed forces and other resources of their nation to war.
I'm not a lawyer or anything, but I looked at an arrest warrant, and it's somewhat like a parody of an arrest, and I made it in three counts. And the main point in count number one is that by signing the Senate Joint Resolution 46, which authorizes the president to use military force against Iraq if he makes the determination that either Iraq is a threat to our national security or that it's necessary to enforce the UN security resolutions against Iraq. The Senate Joint Resolution 46 leaves that decision entirely to him. And if you look at the Constitution, it of course says that Congress has the power to declare war. And I know there's lots of precedent that they do that a lot, but I feel like it's important for people to hold our legislators accountable to their roles and responsibilities in government, and that, you know, if they abdicate their rights to declare war for the nation, I mean, or to make the decision whether or not we should declare war and say, oh, we're going to let the president decide instead, that it's as if they're abdicating my rights as well and those of other of their constituents. So in any case, that was the main thing. And then it follows from that, if they're not filling their responsibilities as our representatives, that they're no longer legitimate, and that as citizens we should demand that they step down, basically. Just in a way symbolic that, I guess in my mind, I don't understand the decisions that our government is making right now. It's gotten to a point where I feel like we all just need to say, you know, this is enough, you know, no more of this. And then the other two counts in the citizen arrest warrant.
Count two, that by entering a vote of yes to the aforementioned Senate Resolution 46, Kay Bailey Hutchison colluded in the dissemination of false information meant to frighten and mislead the American public by knowingly and willfully approving a document making unsubstantiated accusations against the nation of Iraq. Said resolution states that Iraq possesses weapons of mass destruction, which can be used against the United States of America when such accusations are baseless and cannot be proved or disproved without additional United Nations weapons inspections, which had not taken place at the time when Senate Joint Resolution 46 was approved.
In the preamble of the Senate Joint Resolution, they list a lot of little arguments for why Iraq is a continuing threat to the United States and trying to me, exaggerate the potential threat of Iraq at this point. I mean, if you think about what we did to them in 1991 and they've been under sanctions and you haven't heard a thing from them in the last couple of years, they had nothing to do with September 11th. And here there's supposedly some kind of big threat to the United States. And considering the power of our military, the argument is ludicrous. And point was, you know, the only way that we would actually know the extent of their weapons programs is if we let the inspections go ahead. But, you know, our Senate and Congress signed on to this resolution before that happened. So basically they're saying that if he waits until after the inspections take place, then he gets to decide. We've already decided before we've seen the evidence. It goes probably beyond that resolution that I feel like our government and the mainstream media has created a crisis where there is none, and taking the country of Iraq, which I think is probably fairly powerless right now, and exaggerating and demonizing their leader and exaggerating the possibility that they could actually do anything against us.
Count three, that by entering a vote of yes to the aforementioned Senate Joint Resolution 46, K. Bailey Hutchinson, in violation of the Geneva Conventions, did commit a crime against humanity by advocating the disproportionate use of force against the citizens of Iraq. Said resolution authorizes the president to deploy the United States military, known to be of overwhelming technical superiority to that of Iraq, to use its bombs of mass destruction against the defenseless citizenry of Iraq, ultimately causing the deaths of thousands of innocent men, women, and children.
And then count three is concerning that by authorizing the use of our military force against Iraq, that considering if you realize, you know, I'd like to see somebody make a graphic of the number of weapons that we have and the number of weapons that Iraq has, and you would have, you know, a huge stack on one side, you know, going through the roof, and a little tiny miserable pile on the other side, and of course the huge stack would be the United States. And, you know, I think that what we do when we go to war is no longer even, I wouldn't call it war, because it's such an uneven battle that basically we'll send in our airplanes to drop bombs and probably cause, you know, a lot of civilian casualties. Because the United States is a global power, we have to take the responsibility of power, which means not using our military force.
Justice activist Sylvia Stewart. That report was prepared by Renee Feltz.
We can stop this war.
We have indigenous Native American people here. We have Latino here. We have African people here. We have white people here. We have a lot of people here.
Yeah.
We have all kinds of people here.
At the White House over the weekend, Black Voices for Peace, founded by Damu Smith, held a walking protest against the president's intended war on Iraq. Speakers focused on the ramifications of a war against Iraq on the home front. Youth leader Siata Beissa from Organized Coup spoke of the toll a war would have on people of color's communities.
In the haste to go to war, many of us have forgotten the core of humanity, and that's the heart and compassion. And we can't forget that. We can't let Bush take us to the point where we forget that we have human nature to love each other. We can't pour bombs on top of these people and kill all these innocent children and humans just because we think they did something wrong. We have to bring it back to that core, and the core of domestic policy here. We have to help each other. And we have to speak to each other so that we're not caught up in this whole warmongering and greed, and we got to get oil, we got to get money, we got to attack, attack, attack mode. And so I'm glad to see everybody here realizing that, and to acknowledge that it's not just Black voices that are against this, it's not just white voices, it's not just radicals, it's everybody. We all realize that this is just not the way to go. There's another way, there's diplomatic ways, there's human ways. We have to realize that we can't always pick up the gun. Effective change isn't always the way with the bullet. Organized community is a voice as well, like Black Voices for Peace, to let the people know what this is about, to let them know that this isn't about, oh, they did wrong, they gonna bomb the whole world, they about to take over. This is about oil, this is about what Bush said. They try to kill my daddy.
Oh yeah.
They try to kill your daddy, so you're gonna kill all our brothers and sisters, because you know what, your little nephew isn't gonna enlist. You're not gonna enlist, you never went to war. So how you gonna get up there and send innocent, young, majority Black and brown kids out there to die for what? For oil? There's other ways. We all know that. There's solar energy. There's electric cars. And next thing you look, they're over in Sao Tome and Principe trying to talk to them about oil because they don't have some oil reserves just as a backup plan, just in case we lose out in Iraq and we can't use their oil. So there's always a backup plan. There's always greed behind it. But you have to remember at the core, they over there are human beings just like us over here. They're starving, and we're starving for knowledge. They're starving for food and survival. So we need to make that known as well, that this is wrong on so many different facets, and we need to recognize that we're losing out here too. They're spending all that money, then cut $22 billion from education. They cut so much money from education that kids in Colorado and New Mexico have to cut their school days from 5 to 4 days a week. They're charging people to go for buses. They're charging for little things, pencils, little supplies that you shouldn't have to pay for. That stuff should just come for free. And they have us in this short attention span that, oh, it's time to go to war now. It's time to tote a gun now. But you can't ever forget the reality of our domestic situation, the reality of the international community, the reality of humanity. We need to raise this up loud and proud for everybody around the world not to follow behind this Bush mentality that it's war, it's all about war. It's not. It's about humanity at the core. Never forget that. So I'm glad to see y'all here again. Keep the voices loud. No war. We need all our forces for the people, not just here, not just Iraq, not just Iran, all over for the future. Because if we start blowing stuff up, if we start dropping bombs or nuclear weapons and everything explodes, there's no tomorrow. So we need tomorrow, we need today. We need to remember what happened in the past and not let it happen again. So keep it going, keep it strong, because sooner or later they're gonna realize we galvanize the support, they won't be able to do anything. If we stay silent, we're just gonna keep going to war, and we are gonna die. Everybody here, not the people in this mansion, not the people in the White House, everybody here, your brothers, your sons, your cousins, your nephews.
Organized coup.
Siyata Baissa of Black Voices for Peace speaking in front of the White House over the weekend protesting the war against Iraq.
Glory in deadly conflict. Our cause is moral. Our cause is right. We're the only nation on this earth. Yes, it will succeed. Future world order. The United States leadership.
Slow down. I'd like to now to try and hit. You'll now see the same bridge again. Look at it with any of our sophisticated systems. 2,000 tons per day. The luckiest man in Iraq, infested with body lice. Could you show the video, please?
We're the only nation on this earth. Yes, we will succeed. Future world order. The United States leadership. Confrontation. Conflict. Fight again. We can defend. He is dead. Forces of peace. Saddam. Dictator. Despot. Tyrant. Struggle.
The enemy. Iraqis.
Missile strikes. Confrontation. Conflict. Principle. Success. May God bless. Fight again. Success. Thank you very, very much. Why we are in the Gulf. Not to destroy. Better life. Control of the world's oil resources. Peace.
Desert Shield.
The right to speak out. United States. The right to speak out. SDI program. The right to speak out. Desert Storm.
How connected is the Bush administration to the streets of the United States? Who will this war impact directly? Jackson Allers of Pacifica Station KPFT in Houston poses these questions to artists during the Project Row House's Arts and Music Festival in the traditionally black area of Houston known as the Third Ward.
Row House's Arts and Music Festival proudly welcomes Step Reno and the Silent Colo.
Rick Lowe, I am the founder of Project Row Houses.
You know, it's always wonderful when we can bring together a group of people from such a broad, diverse background, you know, in terms of people from inside the neighborhood, people outside the neighborhood, artists from all over.
The concept of celebration, that's very antithetical to the sort of national foreign agenda that is being pushed right now by our government. And it's a good thing that there's a celebratory feeling in this neighborhood at a time such as this.
Well,
you know, it's just that, you know, in America here, in even one of the poor neighborhoods in Houston, Texas, we have the opportunity to celebrate life, you know, our culture, heritage, and arts. And that's a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful thing, you know. But then to think about the fact that, you know, in other parts of the world, you know, people don't have that freedom of opportunity because of the threats from nations like ourselves that threaten them, threaten their basic aspects of life. You know, America's ability to wreak havoc in other parts of the world and keep them unstable, just as our neighborhoods are unstable, we continue to be powerless. You know, so the people here is as powerless as the people in the foreign countries that are being attacked. And I think that's something that, you know, we don't really think about, is the, you know, the long term, the broader impacts on our own population in communities like this.
I am here with Virginia Prescott. Virginia, you are one of the participants in this round of Project Row House installations. Talk to me about what the installation was about.
The installation was about capturing stories from the Third Ward, stories that, you know, had mostly been or walking around stored inside of people's heads, the experience of living at Project Row Houses and around the Third Ward area when it was a sort of glorious and thriving neighborhood.
Speak to me about your relation to the community you just dealt with and how you feel they'll be affected by a potential war on Iraq.
Well, it's a really important question for me right now, because when I came to Houston to begin working on this, it was sort of intertwined with this process of creating what I created at Project Row Houses, because and more that people were sort of buying into this. And for me, it was sort of intertwined with this process of creating what I created at Project Row Houses, because what I try to do is very life-affirming. It's very much about investing in the lives of people who are marginalized in general. You know, people who live in the Third Ward, they're poor, they're ignored in many cases. And they're sort of carving out a life for themselves and for their families in this kind of, you know, an area that looks like it could have been a war landscape. It's kind of there are parts of the Third Ward that look sort of bombed out in many ways. What I'm hearing and what I'm seeing in what's going on in Iraq is that there are millions of people, millions of Iraqis who've been suffering under the embargo and, you know, who are dying and who are living in the sort of extreme radiation that we left there from the Gulf War, and their voices just don't matter. It's just unimportant.
I am here with, what is your name?
Letitia Guillory.
Letitia, where are you from? Houston?
Originally, yes.
Where do you stay now?
Brooklyn, New York. Let's be clear. Trust me. We're in Texas. We know about being attacked on a very personal level, if you're of color, on a political level and a local level, you know, Jasper ain't that far away. But I don't think our relationship to the rest of the world in Texas is the same thing. But we do not have enough military personnel to protect the people in this country. Now you want to send them someplace else to fight a war, where it's already clear there are people here who are willing to fight the war on your turf, on your home. Literally, it's just bad. It's bad management. I don't have any other way to say it. I don't know anybody who's willing to go and enlist in the military. I know no young person who's willing to do that right now. No matter what they feel, no matter how patriotic they feel, I don't know anybody. Now, granted, I don't know no promise keepers. I don't know nobody like that, not to my knowledge, you know. But I don't know anybody who's willing to do that, because I think you've seen what that is. It's not this mythic Ooh, Pearl Harbor, romantic. This, no, baby, this is the tank blows up, you're in it, that's it. This is, oh my God, I just blew up a village with kids, you know, because that's what you were told to do and you didn't know, because it's not your job to do anything but follow orders. Interestingly enough, is that Americans are far more open and interested and curious and concerned about foreign policy than they've ever been since its inception, because we have no choice. The world has really come to us now.
Peace.
That piece produced by Jackson Allers of KPFT in Houston. Spoken word artists, griots, signifiers, and poets have throughout history documented events and movements through a somewhat more creative lens. Poet Sekou Sandiata, called the griot of our times by Vibe magazine, is one such person. The native New Yorker has been standing at what he calls the most famous crossroads in the black world, 125th Street and 7th Avenue, at pivotal points in history. When Che Guevara and Fidel Castro visited the UN and refused to stay downtown, a very young Sekou Sandiata was there. Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey, and Nelson Mandela have all spoken from that crossroads in Harlem. Witnessing those speakers helped to shape his political thinking and his poetry. It inspired his poem about former South African President Nelson Mandela.
After 27 years running behind time, but he could never be late. While we wait, the drums in front of the bodega, hip-hopping, 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 ashe. We pick these names from books to spell past perfect. Yeah, dreadlocked hair, the Africa we fashion like something to wear, has turned around and shaped us too. Maybe we don't know who and where and who and where the cord was cut, but it was. Now we jigsaw in the sun, hot without stopping.
During a discussion with Sekou this morning from his home in New York, we asked him how President George W. Bush has inspired him. He says he doesn't have a poem about Bush yet.
I think we have a government administration that is completely untrustworthy and doesn't have any real credibility, beginning especially with the president and the way in which the president was appointed. I think that's the first thing for me, that there's so much talk from the administration about democracy around the world and bringing democracy to other parts of the world. And I don't see this administration as a democratically elected administration. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, like many Americans, I don't trust the government, and I don't support imperial wars, which I see as being driven by greed and profit and power. And I think these are the real motives behind Bush and company and their desire for war.
If you had an opportunity to have President Bush hear your thoughts, if you could speak directly to him, what would you say?
I'd say, do the honorable thing, you know. And I don't know, what could I say to Bush? You know, to me, he's a man who, first of all, does not even qualify for the office that he holds. And by that, I mean that I think on the level of intelligence and character, he doesn't qualify, and certainly doesn't qualify in any democratic sense. In terms of the war against Iraq, I really don't think there's anything I could say to Bush, because I don't think Bush is in control. I think in many ways Bush is a perfect front man for other forces who are much more serious and dangerous and determined than he is. I think that he is sort of a hollow person who's been filled with the agenda of these not even conservative, well, conservative, but also just right-wing forces who are bent and intent on what it is, you know, they want to do, as exemplified by people like Dick Cheney and Ashcroft. I'm really interested to hear more about what I've been hearing, that already in preparations for this war, that the company Halliburton has been given some sort of sole source contract already, military contract, for the war. I find this to be just a blatant conflict of interest, given Dick Cheney's relationship to Halliburton and all of those things, and how in these times, unlike in times past, these right-wing forces don't even put any shade on what it is they want to do. You know, in the past, they had these covert operations to overthrow people and to assassinate people. Now that stuff is talked about openly.
It's called regime change now.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well, you don't think, however, that there's some credibility, some validity and justification in wanting to defend the American people from a possible biological or chemical attack from Saddam Hussein?
Well, that's what I was saying earlier. I think that there is that these motives, these, you know, greed, power, and profit are masked by probably some true and very real concerns about Iraq, Saddam Hussein's intentions with these weapons and so on. The regime of Saddam Hussein, to me, is an imperial regime. You know, I don't recognize that as a democratic state. It's not any model of democracy and human dignity. So it's not like I support that regime either. The question, though, is for those of us who are opposed to United States advancing this war, is then what do we do about that? In other words, yes, I do think that there is some credible threat there. The question is, as progressive people, well, how do we deal with that?
Ritual poet Sekou Sundiata. His progressive politics today evolved from a background of a self-admitted radical revolutionary.
You wouldn't use that word if you knew what it meant. It ain't pretty, it's bloody. It overturns things. Mushroom, Hiroshima, the poison mushroom, Nagasaki. Not a thing can be done to forget.
You've been listening to Imperatives for Peace, Pacifica's Peace Watch. Our producer is Scott Gurian. Tonight's engineer was Granger Helvey. Our editor is Reem Kathuda at WPFW. Our associate producers are Fidel Rodriguez of KPFK, Renee Feltz of KPFT, and Robert Knight of WBAI. Sam Husseini and Larry Binsky are consultants to the program. We had production assistance from Sidret Franklin and Laurel Paget-Seekins at WPFW. Our webmaster is Pete Caracas. For copies of Peace Watch, go to www.pacificaarchives.org or call 1-800-735-0230. I'm Verna Avery Brown. Thank you for listening.
Do you think that that could be a factor in the fact of the act to retreat a spoken word? Your trust and belief.